تیار کردہ علمی کیسٹ گھر کیسٹ اور سی ڈی ملنے کا پتہ نوٹ فرما لیں. علمی کیسٹ گھر دکان نمبر 5 فاطمہ پلازا بالمقابل مدنی مسجد پڈلبی ایریا کراچی. فون نمبر 6370813.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اعمل لدنياك بقدر بقائك فيها واعمل لآخرتك بقدر بقائك فيها. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, the subject of today's discussion as given to me was the Fikr-e-Akhirat, and in this regard I have recited one holy verse of the Holy Quran, and also I have cited a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to explain both of them combinedly and jointly. As for the holy verse which I have just recited, in this holy verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu uzkuru allaha zikran kathira wa sabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. O those who believe remember Allah zikran kathiran, abundantly and profusely, frequently. وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, and sanctify His name both in the morning and in the evening. This is the translation of the holy verse I have just recited. The hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I have just mentioned, says, and as the Holy Prophet addresses all the Muslims and says, اعمل لدنياك بقدر بقائك فيها. Act for your worldly affairs, for your mundane affairs, بقدر بقائك فيها, to the extent you are going to stay there in this world. وَعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا, and act for your other life, that is life hereinafter. Act for that life to the extent of your to the extent you are going to stay there. These are, one is the holy verse and the other is the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The holy verse emphasizes on remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called in the Islamic terminology Zikrullah. And the hadith emphasizes on remembrance of the Akhirah, the life hereinafter, and emphasizes on the fact that a Muslim should act for his worldly affairs to the extent he is going to stay in this world, and he should act for the Akhirah to the extent he is going to remain there. Both this work and the hadith are fully correlated in the sense that remembrance of Allah always is followed by the fikr akhirah, always followed by the fikr akhirah. So let me first explain the holy work and then the hadith. The holy work says that oh those who believe, and this is a very common expression found in the Holy Quran. When you open the Holy Quran, you find this expression many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them, the Muslims, in these words, with these words, oh those who believe, ya ayyuhal ladina aman, ya ayyuhal ladina aman, ya ayyuhal ladina aman. And this is a very special type of addressing. To explain it, I would say that if somebody calls a person, there are two ways, there are two choices before him. Either he calls him by his name, or he calls him with reference to his relationship with him. For example, if a father calls his son, one way is that he calls him by his name. Oh, Mahmood, for example. But the other way is that he calls him with reference to his relationship with him. For example, he says, oh my son. And it is evident that the second expression is more loving, more sweet for a son when his father addresses him with reference to his relationship with him. This expression, this form of addressing is sweet for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of calling us by our names, he addresses us with our relationship with him. That is the relationship of iman. So when he says, oh those who believe, or ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, it is just like a father calls his son and says, oh my son. So this expression actually has been adopted in the Holy Quran frequently, and it has been adopted in order to invite the attention of the addressee. That what is being mentioned after this is out of love of Allah with his slave. So this is very special kind of expression which has been adopted in the Holy Quran now and again. With this form of addressing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us and says that you should remember me, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abundantly, frequently. You should make my zikr abundantly and profusely and frequently. And you should sanctify my name both in the morning and in the evening. Now the question arises, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to recite his name or to remember him? Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs our remembrance, or if we remember him, whether he benefits from our remembrance or from our zikr? Evidently no. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is need free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need to that a slave of him remembers his name or does not remember. If all the human beings on the face of the earth are unanimous on the point that we will not remember Allah for a moment, for example, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no harm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can injure the feelings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by rejecting his name. If all the human beings on the face of the earth are united and they remember the name of Allah at every moment the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets no benefit out of their remembrance. So when he orders us to remember him, to make his zikr, it is evident that there is no benefit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for our benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to recite his name, to make his zikr. What is that benefit? That benefit is that if you think in depth, you will find that all the offenses, all the crimes, all the sins, all corruption found on the face of the earth actually is due to only one factor. That factor is that a person forgets his creator, forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does not forget Allah and remembers him all the time, he cannot commit a sin. For example, if somebody drinks wine, so when he drinks wine, he is not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If had he been mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not drink wine. If somebody steals the property of some other person, it is due to the fact that he has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody commits adultery, if somebody commits robbery, at that time he is not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had he been mindful, he would not have committed such a sin. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents a person from committing sins, from committing offenses. So if a person is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mindful of the fact that he is going to be present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he will not commit a sin. I remember this very interesting incident of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second caliph of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was Amirul Mu'mineen, when he was Khalifa of Muslimin, and perhaps you know that at that time he was the ruler of more than half of the world. More than half of the world. In those days, once he was traveling from one place to another, and you all know that despite his being a ruler of half of the earth, he was a very simple man. He had no security forces, nothing. He was traveling all alone from one place to another. During his journey, he felt himself hungry and needed meal. And you know that at that time there were no hotels, no restaurants. So he searched for somebody who could give him some meal. He found that there was a herd of sheep. A herd of sheep was grazing in the field, and there was a shepherd grazing the sheep. He approached the shepherd and said that I am a traveler. He did not introduce him as a ruler. He introduced himself as a general common traveler. I am a traveler and I am hungry. I need meals. I have none. So could you give me some milk of your sheep so that I may drink? The shepherd answered that it would be a pleasure for me to give you some milk. But the problem is that the sheep are not mine. I do not own these sheep. I am only a shepherd. Somebody has hired me. The ship belongs to him. So I am not the owner. I have no authority to give you the milk of this sheep. So I can't give it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu tested him and said to him that I propose you something, I suggest you something which is of benefit for both of us. It is of benefit for you and for me also. He said, what? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, I want to buy one boat and I pay you the price. You will keep the price in your pocket and I keep the goat. So when the goat will be with me, so during my journey I will benefit from it. And you keep the price, and if your master asks you where the goat has gone, you answer him that the goat was eaten by a wolf, yes, by a wolf. And the sheep always are eaten by the wolf. So it will not be an extraordinary answer. So you could tell him that the wolf has eaten the goat. So in that case, it will be of benefit for both of us. I'll keep the goat, you'll keep the price. When the shepherd heard it, immediately he said, Oh person, if I do so, then where is Allah? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I can't do this. I may deceive my master, but I can't deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was mindful of the presence of Allah all the time, even in the jungle, even in the loneliness, even in the solitude. So when Sayyidina Umar heard this, he said that as so long as the Muslims like you are found on the face of the earth, the Muslim Ummah shall not go astray. Because you are so mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you do not do such corruption. So this is the basic reason for the command given in this holy verse, that all the Muslims should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are mindful of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere, we cannot commit sin, we cannot commit offenses. All the cruelty, all the offenses, all the sins found on the face of the earth are actually due to only one factor, that is the human being forget the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites a person to refrain from sin. That is why we are ordered that we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly and profusely. Now, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two kinds. One is zikrul qalb, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by heart. That every time a man is mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present before him, and he is witnessing all his acts, and he is going to answer all his responsible for all his acts done in this world. When a person is so mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes him refrain from committing sin. So this is the zikr by heart, remembrance by heart. The other kind is remembering by tongue. That is a zikrul lisan, and the recitation of the name of Allah by tongue. This is the second kind of zikr. And actually the second kind is the first step towards the first one. Unless a person recites the name of Allah abundantly, his heart will not be full of the remembrance of Allah. He cannot do the zikr unless he does the zikrul lisan. Some people sometimes think that only recitation of the name of Allah by one's tongue is not enough unless he has the remembrance of Allah in his heart. But nobody can proceed to the ultimate goal of remembrance by heart unless he remembers Allah by his tongue. So we are advised by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are directed by the Holy Quran to make zikrul lisan abundantly, to recite the names of Allah. So zikrullah starts with tongue, and its ultimate purpose is to create a perpetual remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's heart. How to make this zikr, how to make ourselves used to this zikr? There are two ways mentioned by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we should adopt to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed and directed us to recite certain prayers while doing certain acts. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us that when you enter the mosque, you pray Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ftahli abwaaba rahmat. When you come out of the mosque, you say Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadl. When you taste your meal, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you finish your meal, you say Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa safana wa aawana wa aghwana wa ja'alana min al-muslimin. When you go to bed, you say Allahumma bismika ahya wa bika amut. When you rise up, you say Allahumma alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. When you enter the washroom, before entering the washroom, you say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal khaba'ith. When you come out of the washroom, you say Ghufrana, Allahumma ghufrana, alhamdulillah alladhi atba'ana hadha wa 'afani. So the Holy Prophet has instructed us to say certain prayers while doing certain acts. These prayers are called al-ad'iyatul ma'thura. Al-ad'iyatul ma'thura. So the basic purpose of these prayers is to create a permanent remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's heart. If we do all this and if we follow and adopt these prayers and we are used to this, to say these prayers while doing these acts, a permanent remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be created in our heart. This is first step. This is first way of remembrance of Allah, or to obey the order of Udhkurullah Zikran Kathira. The second one, that every person in this world has a past, a present, a future. Past, present, and a future. Whenever he thinks of his past, he should make istighfar, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. When you think of your past, that I have committed such and such bad things, or I have committed such and such sins, you make istighfar. When you think of your present time, so present time, in each present time, either there will be something with which you are happy, or there may be something which you do not like. In present time, either you find something which you like or you find something which is you do not like. For example, you feel that weather is so warm or so hot that you do not like. And you can feel that the weather is very pleasant and you like it. So whenever you find anything you like it, you make shukr, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You make yourself used to say alhamdulillah on everything you like. Everything you pleases you, you say alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. You enter your house, you found that your family members are well. You say alhamdulillah. You are hungry, you found on the table the meal you like it, you say alhamdulillah. You are thirsty, you found water, you say alhamdulillah. You feel hot that you came into the air conditioner, you say alhamdulillah. So you become used to say alhamdulillah of each and every thing pleases you in this world, whether it's big or it's small. And if you find something which you do not like, whether it's hot and you do not like it, and in that case you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Some people think that this inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un can only be recited when a person dies and a person hears the news of the death of some person. No. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un should be said at every time when somebody faces an undesirable situation. It is reported by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and the candle was put off by the air. That one, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found it, that the candle has been put off by the air. He said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." By the air. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Why are you saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? The candle has been put off." He said, "By this incident, inna lillahi, that the candle has been put off." You like it or do not like it? She said, "I do not like it." She said that at every incident you do not like, you should decide it has been put off. You like it or do not like it? Dislike it. She said, "I do not like it." She said that at every incident you do not like, you should decide inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So, in the will be filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can be able to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udhkurullaha dhikran katira." So firstly, to remember the prayer of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on certain occasions, and secondly, we make these four kinds of dhikr at each time. Either shukr or sabr or istiaza or istighfar. To make ourselves useful. So we will be able to obey this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently, and we make istighfar, isti'aza, shukr and sabr, then the stage of remembrance of Allah by heart will automatically follow. And all the ultimate goal of all the Islamic efforts is to create in one's heart the rujul ila Allah, inabat ila Allah. Wa inabat ila Allah can be achieved through these simple methods. This is the a simple explanation of this holy verse, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udhkuru Allaha dhikran katheera wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. This is very practical and very simple and very easy way to attain the zikr, the state of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now coming to the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, اعمل لدنياك بقدر بقائك فيها. You should act for your mundane affairs to the extent you are going to stay in this world, and you should act for your hereafter to the extent you are going to stay there in the hereafter. It goes without saying that the period of this worldly life is so little when compared to the period of Akhirah, that it can be said that the dunya or the worldly life is nothing before the life of the hereafter. Everybody knows that he is going to die. Nobody can differ from it. Even the persons who refuse to admit that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who refuse to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they reject the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but nobody can refuse that he is going to die. Nobody can say what is the actual time of his death. Nobody can say what is going to be after he dies. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam who have told us in detail what is going to be after we are dead. No scientist, no doctor, no philosopher has ever told us about the events which are going to happen after one dies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us in detail that there is a life after this life, and that life is eternal. This worldly life is a limited life, maybe 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. At the most, one can live for 100 years. But after 100 years, he'll bound to die. So this period of this world is limited, while the period of Akhirah is unlimited. So can a reasonable person prefer the limited thing over the unlimited one? If I suffer from some hardship in this worldly life, then this hardship is limited. But if I suffer the hardship in the hereafter, the hardship will be unlimited. Conversely, if I am happy in this life, I have some pleasure in this life, then the pleasure is limited to a certain time. But the pleasure of the hereafter is unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You often prefer this mundane life, this worldly life, but the Akhirah is far more better than this worldly life, and is far more durable than this worldly life. So this worldly life is neither better than the Akhirah nor more durable than the Akhirah. So you should not prefer this worldly life over the hereafter. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the holy mosque of Medina, and there came some very very noble clothes from Roma. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in did not see such a noble and such a fancy clothes before, so what they were astonished to see that everybody was touching it and seeing it, and was astonished, was happy to see it. When the Holy Prophet saw all this, he said that you are happy with this clothes, you like it very much, but the handkerchief given to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the paradise, in the Jannah, to clean his nose are far more better than these silky clothes that you are seeing now. So everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in a hadith of Qudsi, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ الْبَشَرِ. I have prepared for my slaves in the Jannah such things that nobody has ever saw it, nobody has ever heard of it, nobody has ever imagined it. Such ni'am are present for my obeying slaves in the Jannah. So actually the Holy Prophet says, Al-Kajjisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-mawt. Actually the wise person is that who acts in this world for the betterment of the akhirah, and the person who acts day and night for this worldly life are never divorced some time for the betterment of his akhirah. He is foolish person. I remember there was a Sufi in the name of in the days of Harun al-Rashid, the Abbasid Khalif. There was a person whom he was, and he was just a darwish, I don't know what you call it in English, darwish.
Humble
man.
Buhlul.
It's in the name of Buhlul. Buhlul. So, the Caliph Harun al-Rashid used to make jokes with him, to cut jokes with him. Once Buhlul came to Harun al-Rashid, so Harun al-Rashid gave him a scepter, the Afa scepter, and said that I give you in your trust, and I advise you that if you find a person who is more foolish than you, please give this scepter to him as a present from me. He said, yes, inshallah. If I found some person more foolish than myself, I'll give it to him as present. 1 year has passed. Harun al-Rashid fell ill and was on his back. Buhlul heard that Harun al-Rashid has fallen ill. He went to him in order to make ayada of him. So he said, Buhlul said, how are you, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, my condition is very bad and I am going through a long journey. Then what is that long journey? He said, I am going to the journey of Akhirah. I am going on travel to Akhirah. Buhlul asked, how many people you have sent in advance as a security force, as you have been sending while traveling in this world? He said, Buhlul, you are such a foolish person that you don't know that when a person goes to Akhirah, he cannot send anybody as a bodyguard. Said, when will you return from that journey? He said,
whoever goes to the Jalmiya Bakara, he never returns. So Bahlul said that there is an amana with me. You have given me some 1 year, say 1 year ago. You said that if you find a person who is more foolish than myself, I should hand over it to him. So I made a thorough search. I did not find any person more foolish than myself except you. Because I have seen you when you were Amirul Mu'mineen, that if you were on travel for 1 week, you sent a large number of people in advance to arrange for your journey. You and a large number of servants accompanied you. And there was a big hue and cry when you were traveling from one place to another, while your travel was only for 1 week or 2 weeks. But now you are going to such a long journey from where you cannot return. But you have not made any preparation for that journey. So I have not found any person more foolish than myself except you, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Harun Rashid started crying and said, I thought that you are very foolish person, but now I found that you are wisest person on this earth. So actually, Rasulullah says that the wise person is the one who prepares for the hereafter. If he prepares for this worldly life but does not make preparation for the hereafter, nobody can be more foolish than him. Because the akhirah is the ultimate goal, and it is the eternal life, and it is khairun wa abqa. It is far more better and far more durable than this worldly life. So it is the zikrullah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which invites us to be mindful of Allah and to be mindful of the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us obey this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us all mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, and make us more and more dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
We will take questions, but we have some guests from Tampa, and then inshallah,
if we inshallah know the correct qibla, how many degrees away from that can we pray and our salah be accepted?
Actually, one should try to face his face the qibla as so exactly that he can, and to the best of his possibility, he should be exact in exact direction towards qibla. But if he does not know the exact direction, in that case, if he has diverted himself up to 45 degrees in the right and up to 45 degrees in the left, within this limit, the salah will be correct, will not be fasid, will not be void. And one should try to be as punctual and exact in the direction as he can. But in case he does not know, so if he was diverted within 45 degrees, the salah is valid. But if he has diverted himself above 45 degrees, then the salah is not valid.
You use a word in there that I have a question concerning. You said if he does not know.
Yeah. The exact direction.
Okay.
No. That is another question.
The question is that he knows where the qibla is.
Yes.
He knows it.
Yes.
Yeah, he knows where the qibla is.
Yes.
But he is praying
a bit different direction.
Yeah.
What
is the angle?
Yes. If he knows the correct direction of qibla, exact direction of qibla, and in spite of this, he diverts himself a little bit, it is a sin. He should not commit that sin. But if he committed that sin, even in that case, the salah is valid, provided that his diversion is not more than 45 degrees.
Okay, I'll
yeah.
leave that for now. All right, and one more question, inshallah.
Yeah.
Concerning meat.
Meat.
Mm-hmm. If the person who slaughters the animal is non-Muslim, you know that he's non-Muslim, and that Allah's name was not mentioned.
Was not mentioned.
Was not mentioned.
Yes.
Should you eat that meat?
No.
Under no circumstances.
No. It is haram. Totally. وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ.
I have a question. It is about TV and this type of TV and broadcasting and commercial. I was sent here. I had a scholarship here for the CNN, CNN News.
Yes.
And before I came here, some people warned me and told me that you should find another job, you should find another thing, and because this one is all filled of sins and filled of, you know, corruption and bad things and like this. So, what do you think I should do?
What is your function there?
I'm studying computer graphics. It is a special effect and videotape editing. Yes, editing and graphics.
So, are there some programs?
No, it is like drawing. It's like drawing. You invent it. You mm-hmm. invent. Like someone wants to write his name in a special way, like it's coming from the earth, goes up, like, you know, some effect mm-hmm. with it, some sound, some. Yeah, it has nothing to do with and it has nothing to do with against Islam, like drinking some lady or doing for wine or something against Islam.
But just writing the name.
Writing names, apple, something flying, you know, effect, some effect, special effect.
And some pictures of some animal.
Could be some animals.
If there are some pictures of animals. Or any other thing which is against the...
It's actually not pictures,
yes.
It's not drawing. It's yes. actually the real picture, like it's a photograph. Like I take your picture on the camera, then I can do whatever I want with it. Like make your hand move, make you flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not drawing. It's not like drawing an animal.
Yes.
Or give it, giving life to it.
Yeah, yeah. You do not draw it on the animal.
No. I just take the normal picture and move it. A picture, not a drawing. A picture.
So, actually, the even moving the pictures.
Yeah.
Even if it is, they are photographed.
Yeah.
It is not allowed by Sharia. So, this function is against the dictates of Sharia. But you should find a better job. Should find a better job. Unless you find it, you can resume your this job, and simultaneously you make istighfar from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. But you should try to find another better job, another clean job.
Okay. What about directing? Directing movies.
Movies.
Be a director.
Film. Film. Yes. Director. It is. It's also same thing. Haram.
Because some people told me, if you leave this job, if you leave this job, and all the Muslims leave this job, in my belief, I think that the best way to spread Islam is through this way. For me, like you saw the film, the message. If the director is not Muslim, and the guy who read the script is not Muslim, then who will do it? Nobody will do it. Then no, the message, the movie will not be shown.
Actually,
I think that it is a weapon with two ways. You can use it in a good way, you can use it in a bad way. That is what my belief, so that's why I came here. But also to make my iman more, that's why I'm asking you.
Actually, I have given very anxious thinking on this subject, whether these films
whether these movies can be used for propagating Islam or for preaching Islam. And I came to the conclusion that in the present circumstances, it is impossible for, especially in this country, to use these media for the betterment of Islam or Muslims. And it will be a wrong concept that we should resume such a job in order to propagate Islam. I am afraid that you will not be able to do so. The better way is to leave this job and to find another job. But unless you find it, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that kadal kafru yakuna kufran. Sometimes if someone leaves his job and he faces some hardships, then in that case worse result can follow. So we do not advise to leave the job at once. We advise that you should find another job which is clean from these things, and then adopt it. But unless you find it, you can resume with istighfar. Astaghfirullah.
Thanks, brother. You have very few minutes.
Yes.
Okay. What can you comment on the wudu with shoes? You know, some people they make masah.
Shoes.
Yes.
On shoes. Shoes or on socks.
Socks and shoes. Some people, you know.
And socks are of two kinds. If the socks are made of leather, then the masah is jayz, is allowed. But if the socks are of cloth, like I am wearing, the masah is not allowed in any juridic opinion of Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali. No jurist is allowed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you pray with it if you are on wudu?
Yes, of course. If you are on wudu, you have washed your legs, then in that case, you can pray wearing the socks, provided they are clean.
Okay. The television and music, so can you comment on that?
Music is not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And television of today is a composite of a number of sins. So one should not keep the television in his home. One should not use it. But and the music is obviously haram.
Okay. About the imam, if he wears a tie,
yes,
and you know, can we pray behind him?
Actually, the tie is said to be a symbol of the cross of the Christianity. I don't know. I'm not sure that its origin is like this, but it is, the general impression is that the tie actually represents the cross of the Christianity. Then it is a shi'a of Christianity. So a Muslim should not adopt such a shi'a, and particularly at the time of prayer. So the Imam should not wear it. But even if somebody do not find any other place to pray, and he is afraid that if he did not pray before this Imam, he will lose the jama'ah. In that case, if he prayed behind him, the salah is spent.
I am leading the salah. And after Surah Fatiha, the Muqtadi wants us, me, to stay a while so they can read Surah Fatiha. Number two, I'm leading the salat, and
number one, let me ask the first question. Actually, the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha is wajib according to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah wa Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. So if the muqtadin are Shafi'i, then in that case, keeping in view their juristic opinion, you should stop at every ayah. You say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen and stop. And so that Muqtadi
can say Alhamdulillah Rabbil. Then say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and Islam. This is also the Masnoon way of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And the Shafi'i Muqtadeen will find an opportunity to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alam. Instead of giving them a more space after preaching the Surah Al-Fatiha, it is more advisable to give them opportunity between the ayahs.
They request also to lead me Salatul Asr in earlier time.
To offering prayer in Al-Misr Al-Awwal gives the majority of the Muqtadeen Shafi'i Muslim or Hanbali. And if there is some necessity, if you offer prayer in the Misr Al-Awwal, it is allowed.
If I'm individual.
Even in the Maslak of Imam Abu Hanifa, in the Maslak of Sahib, the Salah is valid.
Also, while traveling, they request me to lead
Jama'at.
Shall I?
Yeah, no. You should not do Jama'at if you are Hanafi. And somebody from among them can lead it.
Then I shall follow?
No. You pray only the
तैयार करता इल्मी कैसेट घर केसेट और सीडी मिलने का पता नो फरमान है इल्मी कैसेट घर दुकान नंबर 5 फातिमा प्लाजा बिल मुकाबिल मदनी मस्जिद पडलबी एरिया कराची फोन नंबर 6370813